we're really, really happy to announce that that we are just signed an ambassadorship program with Schedulicity. Schedulicity is a scheduling app, and they've been kind enough to help us out this next year.
Yeah, we met them in L.A. when we did the Salon Digital Summit, and they really believed in what we were doing mm-hmm. and how we were doing it, and so they wanted to know how they can partner up with us to even reach more listeners and give what we give.
That's right. So with our partnership with Schedulicity, we will be able to reach more hairdressers, and we'll be able to bring a lot more content and get to a lot more hair shows. So hopefully we can see you guys out there in the hair shows when we're there visiting.
Yeah, and they're going to give us some business tips throughout the podcast as well. And I'm so excited that, you know, we're partnering up with people that believe in the same things we believe in.
Yeah, no doubt. That's pretty exciting. So anyway, Schedulicity, once again, big shout out to you. And
thank you for joining
your day off. Silly.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Courtney. I'm sitting with my best bud, Tony. What's up, brother?
What's going on, bud?
Well, once again, day three of Premier Orlando. So
yep, year two, day three.
Year two, day three. I said this last year, and one of the coolest things about doing these live events is, first off, you never know who you're going to run into.
Right.
You know, and you never know who you're going to have the opportunity to speak to. And just like that, I guess it was yesterday in the media room, this young man walked in, and I was like, huh, what are you doing here? Because we were literally just talking to his partner like last week on DM. And
especially when he lives on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're in Orlando and he lives in L.A. And it was a pleasant shock that he was in the room.
Oh, yeah. We're like, yeah, we got to get this dude on.
Yeah. So today we're talking to Dre from Dre Hair. And he started this entire like craft and like
I guess craft hairdresser.
Craft hairdresser with the K.
Yeah.
Craft with the K, which is what Dre's up to. And like, I'm not even really sure what it's all about, but we got to talk about it.
Oh, know? The craft lookbook, bro.
Yeah. So actually, we saw the craft lookbook last year, and we're like, next year, we're definitely there. So you never know. We might end up being there this year. I can't wait, man.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
Oh, man. Let's bring them in.
Let's do it. So Mr. Dre Hair, on Instagram, Dre Hair from The Craft. Founder of Craft, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How's
welcome
going,
to your day
everybody?
Off, man.
Welcome, brother.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Excited to be here.
So what brought you to the East Coast?
Come out to Orlando for a premiere. It's actually my first time here, and pretty excited.
Awesome, man.
It's huge, right?
Amazingly huge.
Yeah.
So we were overwhelmed by it a little bit last year, just because, again, the first time you're in, you're like, I've never been in a building this big, you know, much less with a bunch of hair stuff and, you know, all the brands being represented and stuff, you know?
Yeah, they sold like 60,000 show tickets last year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like a rave.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's definitely like a rave.
Yeah. So, Dre, let's get into you, man. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Originally, I'm from a small town called Yuba City, just north of Sacramento. Little cow town. Had orchards in my backyard. Kind of that whole deal.
Wow.
Wait a sec. Like, the coolest dude in L.A. grew up on a farm?
Farm area, yeah. Right. It was like, you know, 4 square miles of my town, and then there was like 45 miles of orchards.
Right.
And then Sacramento.
Sacramento.
So it was pretty out there.
Pretty out there. So how'd you find hair?
Well, all through growing up, I kind of was always in like the emo scene, rock, kind of rock and roll mm-hmm. kind of stuff, and I always would do my own hair. And that kind of really inspired me with watching these guys, you know, getting their hair done all the time, and I really wanted to be a part of that. So I started messing around with my hair and helping out girlfriends and stuff like that, doing haircuts here and there. And about senior year, I was massaging this girl's hair and or her head or whatever, and she just looks at me and she's like, "You should go to hair school." And I was like, at the time, I was like, man, like, why the heck would I want to do that? That right. doesn't sound like it didn't dawn on me until, you know, so after that, I worked at a tattoo shop and did a couple other things. And then finally, like, this hair thing kind of kept coming back. And then finally I signed up at Federico's in Thomas. Uh-huh. And went through school, and I kind of just slowly fell in love with it. I mean, I was horrible when I started, like some people. Not everybody has like supernatural talent with it, so definitely had to work hard to get to where I'm at now, 10 years in the game.
That's incredible. And first off, like, he's got the greatest like body tattoo like ever, you know?
Right.
It's like from neck to toe, man, you know.
Yeah, he's rocking it.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty dope, man. I kind of wish I was like foresighted enough to kind of like have like the whole picture, you know. Like when I did my tattoos, I just kind of like, you know, patched them together a little bit. I kind of wish I had that foresight for it, you know.
Yeah, me too. I look at my tattoo. Yeah, it's like, all right, here's a spot. There's a spot.
Exactly.
There's a spot. And half of them don't have any meaning. And like, there's a spot. Exactly.
You know, like, It's actually funny with tattoos, like, you know, like you just said, like, you know, people get this means this and this. That's all bullshit. You want a tattoo and you're finding a meaning to get it. You know, just right. say like, just say, you know, I just want a tattoo because they're rad. Like,
yeah.
You don't need the game behind it.
That's kind of, you know, I have some that are for meetings and stuff like that. But like a lot of this other stuff is just like decorative. It's my
dope,
armor.
Right?
Yeah.
It's my skin armor. And it kind of just represents how I feel.
And here's what's a guarantee: if you go to Dre's Instagram, you will see his full body tattoo.
Yeah,
especially in his stories. The man that rarely wears a shirt.
So you only been out of school for 10 years?
Yeah, only 10 years.
You say only? He's like, I've been out of school for 10 years.
Right? He made it sound like it was a long time ago.
It feels like it. Definitely, like, a lot of stuff's happened since then.
That's pretty cool. So, what got you to LA?
So I was doing hair school in Natomas, and then
Natomas is in LA?
No, it's in Sacramento.
Okay.
Natomas, yeah. So it's right outside, just north of Sacramento a little bit. And I was just always searching for more. I wasn't really set on living in Sacramento, just because mm-hmm. I'd been down to LA and I knew that there was a lot more to offer. But I was still kind of like intimidated by the city, just because I didn't know anyone
course,
there,
right.
So it's like, what do? Walk into a salon and be like, hey, what's up?
I'm Dre.
Yeah, and they're like, cool. So I moved to Orange County, actually, for a year right before, and I did assisting with a couple of different stylists and did some outreach on MySpace back then to another hairdresser that had a salon on Melrose, and connected with him, started going up there a few times a week, slowly moved up there, and... Mm-hmm. I just kind of fell in love with LA. Like, one of these girls, one of my friends, she's like, you wear LA like a comfy t-shirt. And I was
I
like, that's
that.
A good analogy. I was
like
I guess you're right.
That's pretty dope.
That is pretty dope.
It's a great city. I really love it a lot.
That's so cool. And the hairdressing that's going on there is just absurd, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty gnarly hub of talented people. And I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's probably at least 8,000 salons within West Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
That's insane.
There's so many. So the competition's definitely tough, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many talented people, so.
That's. I mean, I even remember, like, when we had Phil on and he was talking about, you know, like, being an L.A. hairdresser is a different game. You know, you've got to be on your game in L.A. if you're going to survive, and how he struggled with it. And you're like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know a more talented dude in hairdressing than Philip. So, you know, if he kind of struggled in that space, like, I would drown, you know. There's no way, you know, because that guy's a killer, man, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, no, he's super talented. Love you, Philip.
Actually, you know, he was our assistant.
No way. Yeah, I think you guys told me that last time we spoke
at the Modern Salon thing. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it on the podcast. So, you know, we watched Phil come up, you know, and as
aww.
A
years
as
ago.
I tease him, like, when he was like a wolf cub. We knew when a little wolf cub. But but yes, I can't imagine how competitive it is again if
definitely. Especially when I think it's a combination of things too. So, like, especially like the clients that we work on. So I've kind of cornered like this whole like DJ / entertainment kind of music world. And there's, you know, there's a lot
as
of
as far
other,
as your clientele go.
Yeah. I would say about 50% of my clients are all DJs or working some sort of music entertainment manager agent type of thing. And yeah, I mean, and there's only so many of them that are, you know, managers or agents for certain people. So it's, you know,
you've cornered the market, right?
Yeah, I've got, thank God. Yeah. I mean, it took a long time. And, you know, this one thing I always tell people, like even me being here, you know, like I don't have a show. I don't have an education class. I don't have anything. I came here to be present, to connect with all of you guys, basically. Right. And
well, not us specifically, but the hairdressers.
No, everybody. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, dude, right. No, like it was. Carlos had told me, and I definitely wanted to come and see you guys and, you know, talk to you guys, because this is, it's about the FaceTime. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so much you can do on social media.
Agreed.
And literally touching people in the flesh, it's like, it's a more lasting, like, feeling.
Yeah, we've had that conversation a couple times this weekend. Like, social media should be the conduit to that. But what it shouldn't be is just that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people get caught just, you know, just watching social media and not stepping out and coming to live events and, like, you know, touching people, networking, meeting people, and just connecting.
Yeah. And you can't, be afraid, you know, and just got to go do it. I mean, there was a time when I first started working in LA, I would travel by myself for like 4 or 5 years. Like every year I'd go to Europe and just travel like 2 or 3 weeks by myself and just meet people.
But as a hairdresser or as just a person?
Just as a person. Mm-hmm. Cause I learned that basically you only get rich from traveling and learning different things about the world and everything, all the experiences that you get. It really helps you grow. Mm-hmm. And that helped me a lot, kind of understand so much more than like I never thought I could, because being, you know, well traveled and stuff like that makes you a little bit more cultural, and that also too helps the type of clientele that you get, because
certainly helps the conversations.
It helps the conversation, and that's such a valuable thing, because if you're doing somebody that travels all the time, that's a DJ or whatever it is, they you know, they're well traveled, and if you can keep up with their conversation, they're gonna like you and want to come to you, especially if you do good work. I mean, that's a given. But I've just kind of found that, because when I first started, it was a way different type of clientele. It was friends and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then now I've got some of the most influential people in the world. Mm-hmm. That tons and tons of people know, because people always ask me, what celebrities do? And I'm like, kind of do like people that like run the stuff that the celebrities go to. Right, it's like, yeah, it's like a different type of like thing.
Relationships,
but
right.
Super blessed. But and then yeah, love it.
And you're with Eric Taylor, right? That's Salon Republic.
Yeah. 4 years.
That's dude. I can't. We're in such awe of him. First of all, we're a fan of the guy Eric Taylor, but then what he's doing for as a business guy, and also kind of what certainly from our perspective, what he's doing for the industry all over. Like, you know, disruptor. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in a good way. Like just changing the rules and changing the game for all of us.
Yeah, I think it's really great. It's kind of crazy because I don't think he knew that it was going to happen like this. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he started this thing like 20 years ago.
Right.
Before WeWork. Everyone's like, oh, this is like a WeWork. And I'm like, dude, this is like a decade and a half before even like WeWork would even was a thing. And it's really aided people that are talented to be able to be their own boss and have their space and listen to their music and watch whatever they want. And it's just, I'm super blessed to work there, just because it's kind of what I've always wanted, was to have my own space, have my music and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's incredible. Again, like
yeah, he's an awesome dude.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah. Very sweet. And I like that he's like, you know, because I actually do his hair. So he comes in, but when we first started doing his hair, he, you know, he would be like, just, you know, we just talk, and because he would try to get more into the hair thing, because, you know, he's not a hairdresser, but he owns like, you know, almost.
Well, he told us yesterday that he has like 2,000 hairdressers that work with him.
Yeah, I know, it's insane.
Right.
And to be a CEO and that, like, to have that stature, like, bravo to him, because I mean, that's a lot of people that, in a way, you're taking care of. You're supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're providing an avenue for them. You know, that's That's crazy.
When we talk about like people.
And we're digging his new look, though. By the way, I like it.
Yeah, kind of like it too, right?
A little mullet wedge.
Yep, little
yeah, I dig that, man.
Exactly.
Wish I had enough hair. Like, got a half a wedge,
right? Yeah, the bottom half.
So you've kind of been into and you know, pardon all my words and stuff, but like creating a scene and stuff like that's like. Well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. I think we have to. Tony and I have to kind of like. We met Dre when we did the Modern Salon
Digital Summit.
Digital Summit. That's where we met him. And the night before, he did this just a completely rad bar scene, you know. And it was like it was laser filled. It was. Here's what
smoke
it was.
Smoke machines.
It left an impression. Dude, I kid you not. It left an impression on me. Like I'm like that was tight.
That was tight.
And that like, was cool.
And like Thank now you. That now that we're starting to think about doing some events and stuff like. 100% that night, it is kind of, it's actually like that's our end goal. Or not our end goal, there's never an end goal, but that's kind of our goal. Like, if we could do something that Dre did, we'd be the boys. You know what I mean? So, like, and I even reached out to you about it, like,
yeah,
you know, started,
yeah.
We started to talk about it a little bit. But that was just a cool event, and here's what the coolest thing about it was. I went to that restaurant the next day and didn't even realize that I was in the same room. Like, it was like, we're halfway through, I go, oh, what is that? That's where the swimming. We were in here last night. You know, it looked totally different because it actually wasn't a bar, right? It was like a restaurant.
Yeah, it was basically a restaurant banquet room.
It was in a banquet room, but it looked like a club, and it looked
yeah.
like. And,
we wanted to transform it.
And boy, did you! And the purple lights and stuff, which by the way look amazing in photography and in photographs. You know, we got some great ones to film.
And the collab between two, you know, a barber and a hairdresser, that was tight too. You know what I mean? One person took over. A certain part, and another person jumped in, and so you had this great collaboration with this bar scene, this like disc. It was just
dope.
Sensory overload.
Oh my god,
Dre. So tell us, I mean, about that evening. So like, you had the collaboration. Like, how did that come about? And kind of tell us what the rules were to that collaboration.
So the portion of that specific event was called Collab With Me, and it kind of originated kind of every year as. Life goes on. I just observe. I observe everything mm-hmm. so much. So, and I realized that a lot of collaborating back and forth with two different stylists was kind of like a bigger thing that was going on the last couple of years. We've all seen on social media, and I'd seen like Ricky and Phillip doing a lot together,
uh-huh.
and which was really cool. But I was like, you know, anybody would love to work next to Philip or work with him or Ricky or like, you know, they would really like to like get that exposure. So I was like, how do we involve, you know, the participants into this? So I was like, well, I guess we could do like a raffle, and that they win, they can, you know, do a collab cut or color with one of the artists. And it was kind of, it was really a new thing, because I'd gone to the, you know, premiere in ICC, and I've never seen that or mm-hmm. so. And I was like, wow, maybe this might work. So we did it, and a lot of people loved it.
So to kind of clarify, so like you had, and I hate to say this, but you had like regular hairdressers then enter a raffle to get to work along with Philip or whatever. And was there any criteria as far as like what their work level was or anything like that?
No, basically I would say the hairdressers that bought the tickets were buying the ticket to, because they were inspired by mm-hmm. the artist they wanted to work with. And that, it's kind of brought this level playing field and gives that person the limelight and value so that they, you know, because somebody that has 1,000 followers on Instagram might be so talented, but this day and age on social media, it's really tough to grow, you know, because people only grew, like how I grew my Instagram, I was doing a lot of the tattoo design haircuts and I got reposted a lot, and that's what helped grow my thing. But now there's 8 million repost pages, and it's right. It's kind of oversaturated. So Instagram's been around almost a decade now. So if you're just starting out in school, I mean, you might be really talented and you only have 500 followers, but the world hasn't seen you yet. But if you win the raffle and you're doing a haircut with somebody that's been doing it for 20 plus years,
right.
and they post you and kind of put you on blast, it really helped. Well, it could potentially boost your awareness of your page, and that's kind of what the whole goal of it was, and it actually worked out really well. I got a lot of good feedback from all the people that did it last year at Lookbook and at the Modern Salon event.
That's cool. I think that's so cool. Like, it's just it's just, once again, it's our industry reaching back and behind us and kind of pulling people along. And, exactly. And I think that's pretty cool.
That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just having the opportunity to do it and then to do it.
Yeah.
Because I know what it feels like. I mean, I have like a large, like, you know, music background and stuff like that. And I have friends that have been DJing, and, you know, some people will just DJ at the bar forever. And then there's guys that DJ for like 6 months and then they're touring around the world.
Right.
So with hairdressing, you know, it's the same thing. I've seen guys that have been working for a couple of years that are already touring around and doing educational classes and stuff. It's just been such a blessing that people really enjoyed it.
That's pretty cool. So where did you join in with Eric and Salon Republic. Now, was Craft with a K? Was that established before you guys went to Salon Republic, or was that something that kind of happened?
Kind of like leading up to it. Like, I took the leap, if you will, to just work there and start paying like a, you know, flat rate every week. And I kind of wanted to create a name that wasn't, quote unquote, like a salon name or my name or anything like that. Right. I wanted something that was like kind of like an umbrella so that I could put all my activities that I like to do underneath it. Like, I mean, I've just done so many, you know, from putting on my own shows to promoting to tour managing to all this different stuff. So everything kind of comes through Craft. And it just dawned on me one day, and, you know, I was like, you know, what do we do? Craftsmanship, da, da, da. And then I was like, oh, Craft. And then it's like, let's change it a little bit. Let's do a K. And then me and my graphic designer worked out on, you know, try to make our logo and changed it and balanced it all out. And it looks, I'm not wearing it today, but it came out really cool. And it just kind of was able to be the umbrella for, like, everything that I do.
That's pretty cool.
That is tight. So anybody who ends up working under that as well becomes a crafter.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Look at all the crafters.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. We're starting a cult.
Yeah.
With a K. Yeah.
Last one didn't work out so well.
Right. There's a lot of people out there. I want to be a crafter. So.
A crafter is not even about just being a hairdresser. I mean, you could be eyelash extension. You could be a DJ. It's making clothes. Like, anything that you're doing where you're putting out, like, it's in a way it's like an artist, but I think crafter is more with your hands,
building something, right?
Yeah, you're building something for other people's
I totally get it. That's cool. So so when you first started there, like, because you have employees now, or I don't even know if they're employees or whatever, but you have people that work within the studio suite with you, correct?
Yeah, there's about 10 of us now.
Oh, so it is like a salon in the suite.
Yeah, so we started with one studio, it was two chairs, and there was about three of us to begin with, and then I would knock down the wall. I was like, hey, Eric, is it cool if I knock down this wall? And he's like, yeah, sure.
You got to ask them to leave first, though, your neighbor.
I know, it took forever, but finally got it. So we got two studios, and then put four chairs in there now, and my whole philosophy about this whole thing, about the salon aspect. I actually had a guy reach out to me a while ago, and because he thought they were like my employees, and everybody rents by day or by the week or a couple days or whatever. And this guy asked me, he's like, don't you make like tons of money off the salon? And that was not the whole reason. Like, I didn't want to build that place for that. I wanted to build a place because, like myself, I travel, I do all different types of stuff. Like, if I'm not going to go in on Thursday because I'm going to go to the beach or something, I'm going to go to the beach on Thursday and take the day off. So, and that was how I felt. And I wanted people to be able to have that same ability because everyone that works the salon does editorial stuff, does, you know, weddings and photo shoots and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't really want to dig my claws in them and be like, you have to work here like these amount of days and stuff like that. So I just worked in places like that, and I didn't work for me, so why would I do that to my people? Right. So, and I think they get a lot more support from me because I'm not so like on their back about everything.
So you're kind of like Eric Taylor inside of Eric Taylor's thing. Like, these guys are like, they're paying you like rent or like a weekly rent.
Yeah.
But they're contractor with you, not with Salon Republic.
Contracted me. I'm not saying to Salon Republic though.
That's pretty dope, man. Mm-hmm. Really? It's kind of weird. It's like,
you're like the middleman. It's like,
yeah, and I mean, like,
talk about meta, right? Like, it's a salon within the salon, with the salon and the salon.
But it works because then, like, you know, no one's not, like, and I take care of everything. You know, I paid for all of our supplies, back bar, drinks, all that kind of stuff, and obviously the rent. Everyone helps, pitches in. It's kind of like, you know, it's a group effort. It's a collective in a way, and that was the thing. And this when that gentleman asked me, he's like, "Well, don't you make a lot of money off the salon?" I was like, that. That was never the point, because I can make money other places, and right. I didn't want everyone to feel weird about it.
Right.
You know, they're like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, once again, going back to that word of collaboration, you know, it's just a collaboration in you know, how we spend the money and how we do that. It's more about the collaboration than it is about, you know, the money that can be made or that isn't being made.
Exactly.
Everybody's responsible in making their own money.
Yeah. Yeah, and I support them as much as I can because, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've already done everything. Well, not everything, but everything that I've wanted to do, I've been able to do. And I'll only feel successful if everyone around me is able to live the life that they want.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
dude.
Pretty dope, man. That's pretty
responsible. So how did the lookbook come about?
That was kind of... it's been like... It was kind of an accident, but I guess about 10 years ago when I started doing hair in Los Angeles, the prior salon I worked with, we would go to Project and Agenda in Vegas, the trade shows.
Right.
And we would do like a pop-up salon, about 10 years ago. And we were the only hairdressers in like 20,000 people at this trade show. So everybody came to us. And that was kind of my first exposure to doing like a pop-up type of thing. And then over the years, every summer we would do these at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. We would do little parties there and do hair. And there was only like me and two other people. We'd do just the general public. So then 2016, I hit up Carlos and Julius and Andrew and a few others, and I was like, "Yo, would you guys come down and just we'll do haircuts next to the pool? Like, it'll be cool. We can go swimming, you know, just have a fun day." And after that, I quickly realized. Everyone started to show up, and we were trying to figure out what it was going to be about, because either we were just going to crank out people all day long, or you do one haircut, or so. I really didn't even know. So, you know, it was like, yeah. It was just an accident. So then everybody came, and then all the people that were like showing up were other hairdressers to right. watch the hairdressers that were doing hair. And I didn't really realize that until about midway through. And the following year, I had flown in Mikey from Pennsylvania, and we had Ryan Colin from Ireland, who happened to be in town also. And that was when we really saw like a couple hundred people show up and were really engaging. And it was funny because even all my friends that went to the party, they were like, "Why are all these people watching this dude do hair?" Like, they did, like, other general public people just didn't realize what it was about.
Right.
So then basically last year we kind of just went full board with it, and yeah, we had about 500 people come through the door, and we had like 14 artists doing collab with
me. And out
me.
Of that 500, that was like all hairdressers or mainly hairdressers?
About 400 were hairdressers, and then 100 were like all my party friends.
Bring the club in.
Yeah, it was like waves throughout the day, and then like all my friends showed up at like all my party friends at like midnight, and I was like, "Thanks for coming."
Right.
Yeah, that's cool though.
Oh, that's tight, man. Because when we saw it last year, we were hooked, man. And everybody, you could see just the circles around each station, and people, and it's up close and personal.
Exactly, and that was kind of like that was definitely the goal, because I went to, it's funny, I go through experiences, and I like to pull that type, like certain feelings out of different experiences. And one of them was when I went to Burning Man in like 2012, and you go there and you could literally walk up onto the stage. There's no guy that's like, you know, you can't come up here or whatever. You go behind the DJ and look behind his shoulder and watch him mix. And you could do that on any art car, any club or anything they had out there. And I was like, man, that's really cool. It's intimate. It's very like up close. And you know, coming to all these types of shows and stuff, they're dope for what they do.
Right.
But I knew that I wanted something different. I wanted to have a different type of feeling for the people that were there. So whenever we do these types of events, we put the chair on the ground and you're able to come up behind them, look over their shoulder and watch what they're doing rather than sitting 40 feet away.
Right. Yeah.
Watching it on a screen. And then even this year, we're doing kind of like overlapping tiers of these solos, and that's basically the art. We have two or three different chairs, and the artists will basically be doing salon speed and not talking.
Way to rub it in. Thanks.
Because you know, it's like it was kind of, it's almost like if you go to Coachella or something like that and you see the schedule and you're like, oh my god, like four of my favorite DJs are playing all, you know, 15 minutes after another. So right. You got to kind of walk around. So that's kind of like that same thing. And you just kind of have to like stumble upon it in a way. And I think that keeps it interactive and fun and sensory overload. Cause I mean, when you guys see the recap video after this one, it's going to be a lot of lasers.
What is a 2-day event?
Yeah, it's going to be 2 days. So
what are the dates?
13th and 14th of July at Yamashiro in Hollywood. It's in the hills, and it's probably one of the most amazing views Los Angeles has.
Like, that is incredible.
And it's beautiful.
And who are some of those secretive artists that may or may not be there?
Well, I'm really pleased and excited to say that we have five artists coming from Canada, Ireland, and the UK, which I've never done before.
Like an international kind of.
Yeah, so I'm really stoked they're all coming out, and yeah, it's going to be really good. We got colorists and all different types of hair and editing and all this type of stuff that is going to be going on Saturday. It's education. So that's the thing, is like on Saturday we kind of wanted to start kind of transferring over into giving a little bit more value into this education part on Saturday. And we're going to set it up like with chairs and everything like that, but still you're able to get up close, and we're going to do like multiple rooms. And yeah, it's going to be about 6 hours and I think 10 to 12 educators, multiple rooms. So it's kind of like the same thing. It's a round robin, and wow. You see 15 minutes of this person, you go over there, because I mean, we've all been to classes and stuff, and it's like if you're just sitting there for like 2 hours, you're like, so I want people to move around, you know, I really want to keep it
engaged.
Different,
like,
too.
And keep them all engaged and, yeah, you know, like watching it, and they can kind of move their bodies and, you know, check out the angles and stuff.
It's like being here at a hair show. You can go to stage, see all these different artists, but there you get to literally look over their shoulder. That's tight.
I know. There's a couple that I think are on the ground, but definitely like that was the main goal. Because like I said, with the whole Burning Man thing, it just blew my mind that you were able to just walk around, and it was just so free.
Just like how was the Burning Man?
Was that?
How was the Burning Man? Life changing.
Yeah. It's going home. If you're ready for it, it's like going home. And that's another thing. It's like it tests your ability as a human to withstand the elements. I mean, it's like extreme camping. I mean, you're in a desert for like a week.
Whoa. Yeah, one of my clients a couple years ago, she was there. But I hear it's just like it'd be life changing, man.
It's like Mad Max in the day and Star Wars at night.
Right.
Hey, so would two old dudes like us would we be out of place?
No, not at all. The founder, well, fortunately, bless his heart, but he passed away. But dude, he started it in like 91 or something, and pretty much everyone that. It's definitely like not a kids festival by any means. It's not even really a festival, it's like an experience, but it's not a kids thing by any means. And it's expensive in a way too, because you got to get up there. It's like 12 hours from LA.
Oh.
And then you got to camp and have food and water and all your supplies for a week.
Right.
So it gets,
and you're on the hook.
What's that?
Like you have to figure that all out.
Yeah. And then it's definitely a commitment.
If you run out of toilet paper, can you go to the tent next to you and be like, bro, hook me up?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, everyone who says it's like, oh, it's a barter system. It's like, it's a gifting system. You don't just go up to them and like, hey, I'll trade you this. It's like when you go and meet people, you're like, just offer it, you know. And right. That's the whole concept around it, is like we all live in abundance, you know. Everything is abundance. There's a supply for everybody.
Right. That's awesome.
I dig that, man.
Yeah. So that's this week. I mean, not this week, but next month. What else? Do you have other things happening, planning?
Yeah. I always got a couple things up my sleeve. I'm always just trying to keep, like I said, I like to observe a lot, and I like to just kind of see things that people aren't doing necessarily. You know, like even with Lookbook this year, like we have collab with me. We have another portion inside the event called Hair Jam, and another part called Hair Royale. And once again, it's just kind of my interpretation of what I've just seen in the industry. And the Hair Royale is basically like a barber battle, but not a barber battle. Because there's only, you know, you go to a barber battle and there's 18 different categories. Fastest this, highest that, whatever. Just like different types of things. So I was like, man, that's cool. But why don't we just do one category and the dopest haircut? Literally, we're going to have like, how dope do you think this is? Really dope? Dope or the dopest? Like, and we have, you know, we have some world-class educators or artists that are going to be judging it. So I want people to bring their A game and to do, like, the most, in a way, like a viral post. Something that you just, you know, go out there and do the most creative thing you can and appease the judges and let them, you know...
Like
see.
Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I dig that, man.
So it'll be like two rounds, and then the winners from each of those rounds will go.
But you could be a barber or a hairdresser.
Barber is anything cutting, basically. Anything cutting. It could be long hair, short hair, but you know, whatever you think is going to impress the judges.
That's tight. Mm. Yeah, because usually the competitions are like, it's one category, like you said. It's either long hair or barber or, you know what I mean? Best fade or. Here is like
the cleanest, the fastest, or something like that. So that's why I wanted to like
all hands on deck.
So with the judges, are the judges, are some of them like more traditional cosmetologists? Some of them barbers. Some of them like are when you're doing the judging, is the judging fair, Dre? are you covering like all aspects as far as the judges
go?
Yeah.
So the judges this year are going to be for Hair Royale are Josh and Monica from mm-hmm. the UK, Diego, and Stay Gold, Sophie.
Uh-huh.
So they're all barbers in a way. They also do, you know, other creative things. Josh is, you know, by far one of the most amazing men's hairdressers I've ever seen. Diego's just got, you know, crazy fading skills and be able to do designs that look like they were done computer generated. You're like, dude, how do you get this perfect every time? And then Sophie just has some of the cleanest work than anyone's been able to, you know, just it's unbelievable. And her editing skills and her eye to like detail is just insane. So they and they actually we have one secret judge, but I can't say yet. And yeah, so they would come out and see what you got, and there's a cash prize winner. Let me say that again. There is a cash prize for the winner. So yeah, come win some cash.
Come win some money, honey. That's awesome, Dre, dude. I have so much respect for you for what you're doing. Again, it's like it's so cool because again, the industry needs what's happening this week in Premiere, but I think there's so much space of what else we need, and I think you're creating that. And I was gonna say starting to create that. Maybe it is a starting to create that because who knows where it evolves to, you know. But what you're doing and just having like an eye outside of the box, right? Isn't that the proverbial one?
Yeah, but I love how he said, you know, I see what's happening in the industry, and he just puts a completely funky twist on it.
Yeah,
and it just makes it so different, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm a big fan, brother. You know
Thanks,
what I mean?
Guys.
He's rock and roll, man.
Yeah, totally rock and roll.
You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah.
Like old school, like rock and roll. You know, it's cool. And the cool thing to me, and maybe we should...
At least take it old school, making it new school.
Making it a Dre school.
Right, exactly. Dre school. I like that, Dre school.
Making it a Dre school.
House of Dre.
But what's cool, too, is that not once has he said, like, I can do this better or what you're doing sucks. He's just like, I think I got a new spin. Right?
Yeah.
It's not in spite of everything. Yeah. It's like, I can just... I think this is going to be cool. And you know, there's nobody cooler.
Honestly, just doing Dre.
Just be Dre. Just do Dre. You're
making me blush.
Can't see under all that ink. That's cool. Brother, I am honestly honored that and super stoked that you were here and honored that you sat in with us. Again, we're going to try like hell to get there. We want to. It's a top goal thing for us. One day the timing's going to work out, and we're going to get to hang out, and we'll just be the old guy. We'll be the old wallflowers in the back of the room watching.
I'm sure he could spend something new on you, man.
watching the cool kids work.
As we shut this down, can you tell our listeners how they can find you and learn about all this greatness that you're doing?
Yeah, you guys can follow me at Dre Hair on Instagram, and our event page Instagram is Craft with a K Lookbook, and we have websites in there, and it has all the details about the event.
You get show tickets there and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's dope. Yeah. Hey, so I mean, you name dropped 1,000 hairdressers in there. How can we find those guys too?
You guys can follow them on Instagram as well. I know I spoke about Carlos. Mm-hmm. He works at Craft with me. His handle is Sugar Skulls.
With the baddest logo ever.
With the sickest logo, yeah. Right. He's got a dope Sugar Skull logo. I also mentioned Julius Caesar and Stay Gold, Sophie. Uh-huh. And Diego is Diego DJ. D-G-A-F? It means DJ don't give a fuck.
We'll find that.
Awesome, man. And Josh and Monica. Josh LaMonica. Yeah.
So, how do you spell LaMonica?
It's L-A-M-O-N-A-C-A.
Oh, you better write that down if you're driving.
Right, yeah. So on that note.
Right. You know, but again, thanks, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for joining us here at Premiere, and thank you very much for joining us on your day off. Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.